I'm reading this morning from the letter of James in the New Testament. That is our scriptural text for this morning, and it comes from the first chapter. 2 through 4 and 12 through 14, James was a circular letter written to churches in Turkey, what was then Asia Minor, as well as other churches. It may have had the widest readership of any letter, more wide than the letters that Paul wrote to various churches in various geographical areas. James is very, very concerned with the issue of wealth and poverty, and how people who are wealthy sometimes lord it over people who are poor. Most important, however, James is interested in the issue of suffering and how the churches can endure a hostile Roman population, a hostile pagan population. And it's interesting to note that often the worst persecutions did not take place in Rome and its environs, but rather in the hinterlands. And often Christians were martyred, we know, in Turkey, North Africa, Palestine, wherever churches gathered, where people gathered together to worship Jesus, they were in persecution. And that says something about our day and age now, too, as we look at ISIS and the terrible things that are happening to Christians in the Near East. With that introduction, hear God's word to us. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I'm going to be focusing on that word, endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a person has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and God tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to talk about endurance as the royal road to joy. Endurance and joy really seem almost oxymoronic. Also, suffering and joy would say the same thing, that one cannot suffer and find joy in that experience or even after that experience. But the writer of James, and it may well be the Lord's brother, James, who has written this, notes that we, through endurance, can gain many things, and that the life of a Christian under persecution or tribulation is a life which honors God and honors Jesus, and can be a life fraught with meaning, goodwill, and great, great hope. But how do we endure? When we look at our personal situations, perhaps we're trying to endure an illness without losing faith. Perhaps we're trying to endure a relationship which we hope will get better, but is invariably getting worse. How do we endure when we're not sure our job is stable and we're not going to know for a year or two? How do we endure slights and hurts and people who've betrayed us? How do we endure griefs which seemingly don't go away, although we've begged God that that would indeed happen? How do we endure the fact that God's timetable is not always ours? How do we endure trial? Jesus says, "Deliver us from the test." And so often we find that life is a test. How do we endure that? Well, I think endurance is predicated, and we can understand it as a royal road to something other than despair, when we understand that our trials are limited. That's the first point I would like to make, and that's the point that Scripture makes. Understand that we will endure, but it will not be eternally, that there will be a beginning and an end to the trials and tribulations of which life places upon us. The crosses which we bear are indeed limited. Just as the cross that Jesus carried and died on was limited to a three-day period before God resurrected him from the dead. Scripture tells us clearly, for instance, in 1 Peter 1:6, that though now for a little while you suffer grief and all sorts of trials, it will end. 1 Peter 1:6 assures us of that fact. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and he's talking about his own suffering, he says, for this slight momentary affliction that is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Now, Paul is talking about heaven, but he's also talking about this reality too. And it's in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and also the first, where we understand most fully how much Paul has suffered throughout his ministry. And yet, he could refer to all of his sufferings as this slight momentary affliction. Paul in the first chapter says, we were given a sentence of death, we've suffered so much. And yet he could say, no, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. There's a beginning and an end. And during this season of Lent, we understand too that Jesus suffered and was tested in the wilderness for 40 days. And Matthew tells us clearly, because he doesn't want us to forget, that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And often for us, really the temptation and the tests for us, if we've gotten through a day of suffering, gets worse at night, does it not? So Jesus understood humanly, however, that his testing would last only a 40-day and night period. We know symbolically that Jesus is tested for that period because the Israelites, after their liberation from Pharaoh, was tested for 40 years in the wilderness. So Jesus encapsulates that great struggle in his own testing in the wilderness of Judea. And he passes it. And I think he passes it in part, and I'm looking at the human Jesus, because he understood that this trial would come to an end. I work out at Mac Fitness at times. I'm giving Mac a little free advertising, I suppose, if anyone is listening to this. But I get on a step machine there. There is only one step machine, and I love it because it's the steps go in a circular direction, and you can really speed the steps up so that you're kind of walking upstairs at a breakneck pace. And breakneck is the right word, because the first or second time I was on it, I fell off it and landed in the arms of one of the lovely young fitness instructors there, and she was wise enough to say, never do this again, because I did, and I have been doing it, although I did fall off and no one was there to catch me a second time, and that's rather embarrassing. Fortunately, I wasn't hurt, but that did not deter me from doing the steps. And it's the most excruciating workout, for me at least, in that fitness center. And if I want to work up a good sweat and if I want to feel exhausted, I go to the step machine. But it's interesting, two days ago, I went on and I put the time as 46 minutes. And whatever time I put on, I'm looking at the time around 10 minutes before this endurance trial ends. And I begin to count down the minutes and then the seconds until my torture ends. I think those of us who try to be athletic are like the medieval ascetics. We do stuff almost to harm ourselves in order to keep in shape. And this is the case with my step machine. But again, I was reminded that I could get through this self-induced torture because I knew when it would end. And as people of faith, we need to know that as God tells us in Romans, that we are never tempted beyond our ability to endure, and that our temptations and tests are time limited. So in our sufferings, we need to remind ourselves of this. The second thing I'd like to say is that we need to focus not on the trial. That's rather plain. When we're suffering, we shouldn't bear the weight of focusing on our suffering. That makes it worse. That burdens us doubly, I think. But also, I think we need to not focus on our salvation, or at least how we can save ourselves from our suffering. Because what often I find is that when we're depressed because of what we've been doing through, if we say to ourselves, well, if only I can run a marathon, then I'll feel better about myself, or if only I can pick myself up and dust myself off, everything will be fine. And sometimes we can do that, but oftentimes the test is so severe, what we're dealing with, that it is only God's grace that saves us. It is only God's willingness to see us through the tough times that allow us to get through it. So if we defocus on our man-made solutions, I think we're helpful. And if we simply say, Lord, I give it up to you because I can't manage my own self-salvation with this problem. Some problems, yes. This trial is this emotional and spiritual deadening marathon is more than I can handle, so I need to give it up to you. And I'm going to say, this is my gospel, Lord. I'm just hanging in there. That's the gospel. I'm just hanging in there. It's too much for me, and I look to you for my salvation. I'll just keep on keeping on. I'll just keep on keeping on. I can't do any more. I can't lift myself up by the bootstraps. Only you can do that. I can rescue myself, but I know you can. Robert Jensen is one of the great systematic theologians of the last century, and I'm just reading his systematic theology again, and he reminds us that the great attribution that the children of Israel gave to God was that God was the rescuer. God can be defined as the rescuer. And we see in the New Testament then, with Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, that God then becomes the rescuer of his Son on Resurrection Day. That Jesus does not resurrect himself, but rather the dead one, the Son of God, is resurrected by God. We can't do it by ourselves. We need to understand that we can endure the situation because God will, in the fullness of God's time, rescue us from it. So let's not make the mistake of either focusing on the problem or trying to solve the problem in human ways, but let us, with great faith, reach out to God for our restoration, our resurrection, and our hope. The final thing I'd like to say that gets us through endurance and makes endurance a royal highway rather than just a rocky road, and that is God promises us that if we endure, if we reach the finish line, there will be great and unexpected rewards for us. Notice what our scripture text says this morning, that we will be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. And I know people like that, and you know people like that, and you may be one of these people, that you've gone through a very difficult time, but you know whose Redeemer has redeemed you from the test. You've gotten through it. Your faith is stronger. You're a far more mature Christian. Your life is complete. You don't need all the baubles that the world needs and gives. You just need the simplest things in life to be happy and content. You lack nothing. And so often people I know who have faith and who have suffered, they come through that suffering period and suddenly the simplest things of daily living afford great rewards and great hopes. So we need to understand that there are gifts that God gives us when we've endured the test. And I love Romans. Paul writes in Romans 5:3 that we should rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance. Well, yes, but endurance produces character. Endurance shapes and hones our character and gives it a depth that we would otherwise not have were it not for suffering. And then character gives us hope. And Paul ends with this paean of hope. He says, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. One of the things I'm going to miss And I'm going to have to endure after he's gone, but my favorite comedian is David Letterman. And when I've had a rough day, I always stay up at night to watch his monologue at the very least in his top 10. I love Letterman. His humor is the humor I would like to adopt and always would like to have, and I will miss him terribly when he retires. But on a serious note, he had a fellow named Kyle Carpenter who had suffered greatly in Afghanistan. Kyle Carpenter is a Marine, and he protected a fellow Marine on the roof when a hand grenade was lobbed up, and he didn't even remember what he did, but he threw himself on that grenade to protect his fellow Marine. And he had, I think, something like 6 or 7 surgeries just on one arm. One hand was missing. He lost an eye. He was in Walter Reed Hospital for I don't know how many months. Maybe it was years. But he suffered greatly and endured greatly. And when he came out and shook David Letterman's hand and began to relate his story in a most humble way, you could see that his being exuded character, that his suffering and endurance had been transmuted into gold of great character and great significance. Indeed, that character, as he ended his talk, produces hope. It produced hope not only in him, but to me and to the audience in the theater and to Dave Letterman himself. And Mr. Letterman said at the end of the interview, he said, "You know, I hope my son never has to go to war. War is a terrible thing." But he said, "I hope my son has half the courage that you have displayed. I hope my son can imitate you and emulate you in some way because you are solid gold." And you know, if we can endure, we are solid gold too. We are God's beloved children. Know that God will never let us go. Know that suffering does not last forever. And know that God is refining us for his purposes. So have hope, have joy this morning. Amen.